The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Amy Wentley for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Poetry Corner. This is a new series of poetry broadcasts that's starting in April of 2025. We would love to hear from you. Please let us know what you think of the new broadcasts and feel free to call at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Or you can email at reading@ncreadingservice.com. Thank you for listening. For the next half hour, I will be reading The Blue Flag in the Bog by Edna St. Vincent Millay from her book, Second April, that was published in 1921. I'll read Funeral Blues by W.H. Auden, that was published in Another Time in 1940. And then I'll read Song of Myself, that's section 26, by Walt Whitman, published in 1892. And then I will have a section for music as poetry, and we will read some lyrics from songs and see if you can identify the composer. And then, if we have time, I will move on to a selection from Emily Dickinson. So let's move on to our first. Our first selection is The Blue Flag in the Bog by Edna St. Vincent Millay. Edna St. Vincent Millay was born in 1892, and she died in 1950, and she was an American lyrical poet and playwright. Millay was a renowned social figure and a noted feminist in New York City during the Roaring Twenties and beyond. Millay won a 1923 Pulitzer Prize for poetry for her poem, The Ballad of the Harp Weaver. She was the first woman and the second person to win the award. In 1943, Millay was the sixth person and the second woman to be awarded the Frost Medal for her lifetime contribution to American poetry. Millay was highly regarded during much of her lifetime, with the prominent literary critic Edmund Wilson calling her one of the only poets writing in English in our time who have attained to anything like the stature of great literary figures. By the 1930s, her critical reputation began to decline, as modernist critics dismissed her work for its use of traditional poetic forms and subject matter, in contrast to modernism's exhortation to make it new. However, the rise of feminine literary criticism in the 1960s and 70s revived an interest in her works. Nancy Milford published a biography of the poet in 2001. It was called Savage Beauty, The Life of Edna St. Vincent Millay. Millay's sister, Norma Millay, and at that time that was her only living relative, offered Milford access to the poet's papers based on her successful biography of F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife, Zelda. Milford also edited and wrote an introduction for a collection of Millay's poems called The Selected Poetry of Edna St. Vincent Millay. Milford would label Millay as the herald of the new woman. The Blue Flag in a Bog is a poem about the beauty of nature and the fleeting moments of life. During an apocalyptic event, the narrator is walking toward heaven, and she escapes and finds herself walking through a bog and coming across a blue flag flower, which we commonly call an iris. The flower is described in detail with its delicate petals and vibrant color. Let's see what happens to our speaker and her flower. The Blue Flag in the Bog by Edna St. Vincent Millay. God has called us, and we came. Our loved earth to ashes left. Heaven was a neighbor's house, open flung to us bereft. Gay the lights of heaven showed, and 'twas God who walked ahead. Yet I wept along the road, wanting my own house instead. Wept unseen, unheeded, cried, all you things my eyes have kissed, fare you well, we meet no more, lovely, lovely tattered mist. Weary wings that rise and fall, all day long above the fire, red with heat was every wall, rough with heat was every wire. Fare you well, you little winds, that the flying embers chase. Fare you well, you shuddering day, with your hands before your face. And ah, blackened by strange blight, or to a false sun unfurled, now forevermore goodbye, all the gardens in the world. On the windless hills of heaven that I have no wish to see, white eternal lilies stand by a lake of ebony. But the earth forevermore is a place where nothing grows. Dawn will come and no bud break, evening and no blossom close. Spring will come and wander slow over an indifferent land, stand beside an empty creek, hold a dead seed in her hand. God has called us, and we came, but the blessed road I trod was a bitter road to me, and at heart I questioned God. Though in heaven, I said, be all that the heart would most desire, held earth not save souls of sinners worth the saving from a fire? Withered grass, the wasted growing, aimless ache of laden boughs, little things God has forgotten called me from my burning house. Though in heaven, I said, be all that the eye could ask to see, all the things I ever knew are this blaze in back of me. Though in heaven, I said, be all that the ear could think to lack, all the things I ever knew are this roaring at my back. It was God who walked ahead, like a shepherd to the fold. In his footsteps fared the weak, and the weary, and the old. Glad enough of gladness over, ready for the peace to be, but a thing God had forgotten was the growing bones of me. And I drew a bit apart, and I lagged a bit behind, and I thought on peace eternal, lest he look into my mind. And I gazed upon the sky, and I thought of heavenly rest, and I slipped away like water through the fingers of the blessed. All their eyes were fixed on glory, not a glance brushed over me. Alleluia, alleluia, up the road, and I was free, and my heart rose like a freshet, and it swept me on before, giddy as a whirling stick, till I felt the earth once more. All the earth was charred and black. Fire had swept from pole to pole, and the bottom of the sea was as brittle as a bowl, and the timbered mountaintop was as naked as a skull. Nothing left of the earth so beautiful. Earth, I said, how can I leave you? You are all I have, I said. What is left to take my mind up living always? And you dead. Speak, I said, oh, tell me something. Make a sign that I can see for a keepsake, to keep always quick before God misses me. And I listened for a voice, but my heart was all I heard. Not a screech owl, not a loon, not a tree toad said a word. And I waited for a sign, coals and cinders, nothing more, and a little cloud of smoke floating on a valley floor. And I peered into the smoke till it rotted like a fog. There, encompassed round by fire, stood a blue flag in a bog. Little flames came wading out, straining towards its stem. But it was so blue and tall that it scorned to think of them. Red and thirsty were their tongues, as the tongues of wolf must be. but it was so blue and tall. Oh, I laughed. I cried to see. Oh, my heart became a tear. Oh, my soul became a tower. Never loved I anything as I loved that tall blue flower. It was all the little boats that had ever sailed the sea. It was all the little books that had gone to school with me. On its roots like iron claws, rearing up so blue and tall. It was all the gallant earth with its back against a wall. In a breath, ere I had breathed, oh, I laughed, I cried to see. I was kneeling at its side, and it leaned its head on me. Crumbling stones and sliding sand is the road to heaven now. Icy at my straining knees drags the awful undertow. Soon, but stepping stones of dust, will the road to heaven be. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, reach a hand and rescue me. There, there, my blue flag flower, hush, hush, go to sleep. That is only God you hear, counting up his folded sheep. Lullaby, lullaby, that is only God that calls, missing me, seeking me, ere the road to nothing falls. He will set his mighty feet firmly on the sliding sand, and like a little frightened bird, I will creep into his hand. I will tell him all my grief. I will tell him all my sin. He will give me half his robe for a cloak to wrap you in. Lullaby, lullaby, rocks the burnt-out planet free. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, reach a hand and rescue me. Ah, the voice of love at last. Lo, at last the face of light, and the whole of his white robe for a cloak against the night. And upon my heart asleep, all the things I ever knew, holds heaven not some cranny, Lord, for a flower so tall and blue? All's well, all's well, gay the lights of heaven show. In some moist and heavenly place, we will set it out to grow. Our second session today is Funeral Blues by W. H. Auden. Whiston Hugh Auden was born in 1907 and he died in 1973. And he was a British-American poet. His poetry is noted for its stylistic and technical achievement, its engagement with politics, morals, love, and religion, and its variety in tone, form, and content. Some of his best-known poems are about love, such as Funeral Blues, on political and social themes, such as September 1st, 1939, and The Shield of Achilles, on cultural and psychological themes, such as The Age of Anxiety, and on religious themes, such as For the Time Being and Horae Canonicae. Auden was born in York, and he grew up in and near Birmingham in a professional middle-class family, and he attended various English independent or public schools. And he studied English at Christ Church, Oxford. After a few months in Berlin in 1928 and 29, he spent 5 years, that's between 1930 and 1935, teaching in British private preparatory schools. In 1939, he moved to the United States. He became an American citizen in 1946, retaining his British citizenship. Auden taught from 1941 to 1945 in American universities, followed by occasional visiting professorships in the 1950s. So here is Funeral Blues by W. H. Auden. Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone. Prevent the dog from barking with a juicy bone. Silence the pianos. And with muffled drum, bring out the coffin and let the mourners come. Let aeroplanes circle moaning overhead, scribbling on the sky the message, he is dead. Put crepe bows round the white necks of the public doves, and let the traffic policemen wear black cotton gloves. He was my north, my south, my east and west, my working week and my Sunday rest, my noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. I thought that love would last forever. I was wrong. The stars are not wanted now. Put out everyone. Pack up the moon and dismantle the sun. Pour away the ocean and sweep up the wood. For nothing now can come to any good. In Leaves of Grass, published 1855, and then published again in 1891-92, he celebrated democracy, nature, love, and friendship. This monumental work chanted praises to the body as well as to the soul, and found beauty and reassurance even in death. Along with Emily Dickinson, Whitman is regarded as one of America's most significant 19th century poets, and would influence later many poets, including Ezra Pound, William Carlos Williams, Allen Ginsberg, Simon Ortiz, C.K. Williams, and Martin Espada. Born on Long Island, Whitman grew up in Brooklyn and received limited formal education. His occupations during his lifetime included printer, schoolteacher, reporter, and editor. Whitman's self-published Leaves of Grass was inspired in part by his travels through the American frontier and by his admiration for Ralph Waldo Emerson. This important publication underwent 8 subsequent editions during his lifetime as Whitman expanded and revised the poetry and added more to the original collection of 12 poems. Emerson himself declared the first edition was the most extraordinary piece of wit and wisdom that America has yet contributed. Whitman published his own enthusiastic review of Leaves of Grass. Critics and readers alike, however, found both Whitman's style and subject matter unnerving. According to the Longman Anthology of Poetry, Whitman received little public acclaim for his poems during his lifetime for several reasons. This openness regarding sex, his self-preservation as a rough working man, and his stylistic innovations. A poet who abandoned the regular meter and rhyme patterns of his contemporaries. Whitman was influenced by the long cadences and rhetorical strategies of biblical poetry. Upon publishing Leaves of Grass, Whitman was subsequently fired from his job with the Department of the Interior. Despite his mixed critical reception in the U.S., he was favorably received in England, with Dante Gabriel Rossetti and Algernon Charles Swinburne among the British writers who celebrated his work. Song of Myself is a poem by Walt Whitman that is included in his work, Leaves of Grass. It has been credited as representing the core of Whitman's poetic vision. The poem was first published without sections, as the first of 12 untitled poems in the first 1855 edition of Leaves of Grass. The first edition was published by Whitman at his own expense. In the second 1856 edition, Whitman used the title Poem of Walt Whitman, an American, which was shortened to Walt Whitman for the third 1860 edition. And then the poem was divided into 52 numbered sections for the fourth edition, and finally took on the title Song of Myself in the last edition. The number of sections is generally thought to mirror the number of weeks of the year. So now we will hear Song of Myself, section 26. Now I will do nothing but listen, to accrue what I hear into this song, to let sounds contribute toward it. I hear bravuras of birds, bustle of growing wheat, gossip of flames, clack of sticks cooking my meals. I hear the sound I love, the sound of the human voice. I hear all sounds running together, combined, fused, or following. Sounds of the city and sounds out of the city. Sounds of the day and night. Talkative young ones to those that like them, the loud laugh of work people at their meals, the angry bass of disjointed friendship, the faint tones of the sick. The judge with hands tight to the desk, his pallid lips pronouncing a death sentence. The heave-ho of stevedores unlading ships by the wharves. The refrain of the anchor lifters. The ring of alarm bells, the cry of fire, the whir of swift streaking engines and hose carts with premonitory tinkles and colored lights. The steam whistle, the solid roll of the train of approaching cars, the slow march played at the head of the association marching two and two. They go to guard some corpse. The flag tops are draped with black muslin. I hear the viola. 'Tis the young man's heart's complaint. I hear the keyed cornet. It glides quickly in through my ears. It shakes mad sweet pangs through my belly and my breast. I hear the chorus. It is a grand opera. Ah, this indeed is music. This suits me. A tenor large and fresh as the creation fills me. The orbic flex of his mouth is pouring and filling me full. I hear the trained soprano. What work with hers is this? The orchestra whirls me wider than Uranus flies. It wrenches such ardors from me I did not know I possessed them. It sails me. I dab with bare feet. They are licked by the indolent waves. I am cut by bitter and angry hail. I lose my breath. Steeped amid honeyed morphine, my windpipe throttled in fakes of death. At length, let up again to feel the puzzle of puzzles, and that we call being. Our next selection is, Why Have You Stopped? Oh, I must have stopped there. Oh, so now you're recording? Okay, that's great. All right. So, our next selection is by another well-respected American poet, Emily Elizabeth Dickinson. She was born in 1830, died in 1886. She was an American poet, little known during her life. I think we just need to stop.